Welcome to the Upshot subscriber bonus segment this week. I'm Charlie, he's Jamie, and today we have five tips for getting through the disc golf hiatus. Tournaments are being canceled, the pro tour is on hold. We don't know when we're going to be able to even necessarily play again for some of us. For those of you who are able to go out and play rounds, good for you. Be smart. Don't go within 6 feet of other people. But it's totally reasonable if you can do that in a safe way to go out and play. And lucky you. I don't think that's me. And I imagine there are others in my situation who won't be able to feel like they can safely go and play. So we have five tips. Jamie, tip number one, take it away.
All right. So first and probably most obvious, you got to go back and rewatch some of the most epic battles that have taken place on the professional disc golf scene. All right. And this week we're going to give you MPO and we'll give you FPO in the future. So we got plenty of time, plenty of battles to think about. First one for me. And, you know, helps that I was there and got to call this live. You got to go back and watch USDGC round number 3 from this past year, 2019. That's the one with the Nico Albatross and James Conrad, who had begun after round 1. He was 8 strokes back of the leader. He put on one of the better rounds in round 2, and he would need to do the same or better in order to get all the way back, jumping up into contention. Remember, Chris Clemens was looking like he was on a great run. Nathan Queen was up in there. So USDGC round 3 is an epic one, and you should go watch that.
That's a classic. I'll just throw this obvious ones out there. Either of the Macbeth 18-under rounds. I mean, duh. Go watch greatness. Waco, D-Glo, both great in their own ways. I mean, everybody's going to think of that one, though. So let's get to some other ones that maybe aren't quite as obvious. 2017, European Open, Final 9, Barsby versus Macbeth. I'm not going to spoil it. Go watch. Beautiful course, incredible back-and-forth battle, great golf, just spectacular.
No doubt. Same year, the 2017 Aussie Open. Remember, that is kind of Eagle McMahon really, really announcing himself to the world as a force to be reckoned with on tour. Ricky Wysocki also in an epic battle there. Ricky, you know, had to shoot a couple 1,100 rated rounds to give himself a chance at the title. If you don't remember how it all went down, even better, go back and watch it. It's a really good one.
That's definitely a great one. How about the World Championships from 2014 in Portland? You know, I guarantee we have some listeners who were not paying attention to disc golf in 2014. Go back, check that out. The Final 9, I mean, really, you could watch any of the tournament, but the Final 9, epic. Can't miss.
Yeah, Macbeth, Wysocki. Charlie, that might be the greatest playoff in disc, or the greatest like showdown generally in disc golf that has ever happened.
In what is been what has been the defining rivalry of the last decade.
No doubt. Another really good one, maybe a little more off the beaten path, but in 2015, you'll remember Paul Macbeth was having one of the greatest seasons of all time. He had won 3 of the 6 national tours that had been played. He had won 4 out of 4 majors up to that point. Remember, this was the 5 major year. So the 2015 Hall of Fame Classic in Georgia. And remember, this year, that year, it was before the USDGC. So the national tour would come to an end, and then they would travel up to Rock Hill to finish the major season. So Macbeth, number one player in the world, obviously had just won his 3rd world title in a row recently. He and Michael Johansson have a pretty epic battle in that final round. And then, of course, Macbeth would go on to win his first U.S. title not too long after that. So check out the 2015 Hall of Fame Classic final round.
Of course, there are many, many, many more. You could probably do worse than just going to Joe Mezzer Central Coast's YouTube channels. sorting by most viewed all time and picking something from the top 15 or 20. You're going to see great stuff. And there's so much great free content out there for disc golf. It's spectacular. But you know, you can't just sit and watch YouTube videos for 6 weeks. It's not realistic. And you want to try to get better, even if you're not playing a lot. So I have a simple one: practice putting. If you have a practice basket and you have a backyard, that's great. If you live in an apartment like me and you don't have a practice basket, well, you can still grab your putters and you can throw putts at the couch or at a target on the wall, or you make something and you just work on replicating that muscle memory, creating that rhythm in the putt. You can get better at putting without being outside. You know, obviously, if you have the opportunity to go outside and putt, that's great. But even if you don't, there's really no excuse. You can take the time to practice your putting.
No excuses. I have a positive and a negative story, a cautionary tale and a good thing for putting.
Okay, great.
First of all, you can putt in an apartment. You don't need a practice basket. In fact, so when I do course design and put in our baskets for Disc Golf Park, I know that 31.5 inches is quote unquote standard height for the top nub of the basket. So anything over 31.5 inches should clear the tray, hit the chains, drop in. So what I did for the SFO for the past couple years, when I wanted to work at, you know, do our Ulti World work, but also get my training in during the day, I would, you know, figure out how high off the ground 31.5 inches was relative to my couch. And I took a pillow and I put some painter's tape on it to kind of make that window.
Sounds smart.
And I would putt at the couch. Nice and soft. You know, doesn't have to hit anything. Doesn't mess with the neighbors. And you can practice getting the height on the disc you want without kind of being distracted by the shape of the basket or worried about, oh, those chains almost caught it but didn't. You're just putting to a spot, right? Now, I started doing this because a few years back when I lived in an apartment, I did have a practice basket. And I left it kind of close to a bank of windows because that's kind of how the apartment was laid out. It was necessary. And, you know, my wife, my girlfriend at the time, she looked at me and goes, "Don't break a window," kind of jokingly. And then she walked into the other room. And I kid you not, the very next putt,
no.
I missed it left-hand weak side.
No.
Splashed through the chain, smashed the window at full speed, and just shattered that sucker. I was a student at the time. I didn't have any money, period.
So,
I had to go to my landlord and tell him I'd fix the window, and I had to try to explain to him how I broke it, and that was an interesting tale.
Maybe we should not recommend that people putt towards their windows.
Yeah. Give good space from your windows. Don't be like college me and be an idiot.
And you shanked it so bad. How did you shank it so bad?
You know, I want to make the excuse that it was one of those cloth baskets, so it doesn't catch quite as well, but the reality is she got in my head. She said, don't miss the putt, break the window, and then I did it. So go figure.
All right. Jamie, next one.
All right. Another thing you can do, another thing I did in the past couple years as I was practicing for SFO and working from home, you can work on your flexibility. The gym is closed. It's hard to do Olympic lifts and get a bunch of weight going on. But a lot of doing great things in disc golf, a lot of keeping your body healthy, being able to have the endurance to play multiple rounds on longer courses, work on that flexibility, on that range of motion. You know, you could do yoga. You can, if you like the Disc Golf Strong program, I have personal experience with that as well. That helped me a lot. So whatever program you decide to choose, work on yourself. Just work on that flexibility and range of motion a little bit. It'll pay dividends.
I tell you what, general yoga programming is going to help everybody. You don't necessarily need to do quote unquote like specific disc golf stuff. Like yoga works on flexibility in your hips. It works on flexibility in your shoulders. It is really good. Highly recommend Yoga with Adrienne, free on YouTube. There's great beginner programs if you're just getting into it, and you can do it from the comfort of your own home. Big fan. I think anybody who wants to be serious about being an athlete, being a good disc golfer, should be taking their flexibility work seriously, and yoga is a great way to do it. Number four, do some field work. No one really wants to do field work. No one really loves doing field work. But this is going to be a time where if you can't go play, you may still be able to go outside and do some field work. I just did this past week. I've probably done the most field work in the last week than I've done in a year. And it's really good. You can go out there with a stack of drivers or whatever you want to work on throwing and just start working on that form. Work on dialing in your shots. And I mean, we've heard many times from many pros who've come on the show, it works. It helps. You get better. So I think it's a great time to like think about fundamentals. You know, it's the same with practicing putting. Like, you have a chance right now, since we can't really play, to focus on fundamentals, and doing field work is a great way to benefit your long-term game.
It's like Brody said earlier, go out and practice what you're not good at. Go out and really challenge yourself. Find that area of the game that's not fun. Don't let yourself off the hook, because I guarantee you, each of us, as we've kind of gotten started, gotten our year started, you know, we did our off-season training, or maybe we slacked a little bit, and then we get out and have our first league rounds or maybe first tournament, you go, man, I didn't get everything that I wanted done in terms of improving my game. Well, you just got a second chance. This is the glass half full kind of thing. You got a second chance. You got a couple test rounds under your belt. Go find that one thing that when you're sitting at the end of the season and we're going into winter again and you go, man, I'm really glad that I got better at that this year. Figure out what that one thing is and go work on it.
All right, one more. Jamie, take it away.
All right. Of course, this is one we would all love for you to do. Stay connected with your disc golf community. Get online. You know, there's plenty of groups on Facebook. We've had talks internally, Charlie. It's kind of interesting and pretty cool to see how much debate and discussion takes place on Facebook for disc golf, where, you know, maybe that doesn't exist as much for Ultimate. So there's plenty of other fans who are going to want to talk disc golf and debate all the topics ad nauseum. Or if you're a subscriber like you already are, because you're listening to this, hang out in Slack. We're all going to be bored. Keep up with us. Let us know how you're holding up. And for example, if you have any other of the epic rounds that you think everybody else should watch, hang out in Slack. Let us know what's going on.
And I think this is also a chance to, you know, not only stay connected by chatting with fellow locals or whatever communities you're a part of online in disc golf community, but thinking about things that you can do to improve your local community once we are all back out there. I mean, doesn't this, if there is any silver lining to all of this, it's that it makes us appreciate our friends and our literal real world social networks, and the ability to go play doubles and tournaments and get out to the course. I mean, think about what would happen if you didn't have your favorite course. How can you make it better? Can you can you start to plan to start volunteering? You set up a trash cleanup day. Think about if there needs to be new tee pads. This is a great time to plan for those kinds of things and start to put together a budget, or you know, talk about doing a fundraising drive. And you know, you can also think about ways of starting to collect data that you could show to local officials to help show that the sport's really growing and that they should put in more courses. I mean, I've been thinking about that in New York. Like, what would it take to get a course built in New York? Now, really going to have some time, not traveling at all for at least 2 months, going to have some time to think about that. Is there a way that we can make that pitch? And, you know, a lot of this stuff's not going to happen right now. You know, offices are going to be closed. People are going to be working from home. There's not going to be money to put in a new disc golf course. That's construction not happening right now, at least for a while. But this is a chance to make those plans so that when we get back out and we start to resume normal life, we'll be able to improve our local courses, improve our local communities. And this is just a great chance to reflect on the positives.
Well said. I like it.
So that's five ideas. I'm sure our listeners have more. Send them to us. We'd love to hear them. Upshot at ultiworld.com. You know how to reach us. And we would love to hear your ideas or things that you're even doing to pass the time, stay connected with people, and, you know, improve your own game. So that's going to do it for our subscriber-only segment this week. Thanks so much for being a subscriber. We'll talk to you next week right here on The Upshot.
See you on the Slack.